Welcome back to Moms Unbothered, the show where we ditch the toxins, trust our instincts, embrace a healthy lifestyle, and don't care who it bothers. My name is Kate.
And I'm Jordan.
In this episode, we have Kate Pope as our guest, talking all about infant and toddler nutrition. If you wonder what the best foods are to be feeding your infants and toddlers, stick around because this episode is for you. Kate also gives insight to resolving eczema issues, which has been such a chronic epidemic for children lately, as well as navigating picking eating. Before we get into this, if you love conversations that challenge the status quo and help you level up your health, take 2 seconds to hit that like button, subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, or leave a quick review if you're a podcast listener. It helps more moms like you find this podcast. And let's be real, the more of us out there, the less we have to explain why we don't let our kids eat McDonald's.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. We have Kate with us today, Kate. So sorry if that's confusing. But yeah, hey, Kate, will you just go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and how you got into this?
Yeah, sure. Hi, everyone. I'm Kate Pope. I'm Wild Nutritionist on Instagram, and I'm a nutritional therapy practitioner. I'm a GAPS practitioner. I'm a mom. I have a BFA in dance, and I worked as a private chef for 5 years. So I combine all of those skills now to help moms heal their babies themselves, recover from birth using food as medicine. I help moms reverse things like eczema, allergies, and pretty much all using food.
That is so cool. How did you get into like this aspect? Like, this is very niche, I feel like. So how'd you get into that?
My own story, like a lot of people. So I prepared my body for pregnancy for 2 years, and that was amazing. And I had a teacher who told me that this is what people are supposed to do. And I felt so fortunate to have heard that information before I had a baby. And my husband did it as well. And we were like rocking and rolling, and I was pregnant with my son. Amazing. And I had a cesarean birth with him, unplanned emergency. Not going to go fully into that here, but from that, I learned and remembered that, you know, there's actually consequences of this kind of a birth. It was never something that I wanted, and it happened. And so I started to talk about that, how it impacted my son, and how basically how C-sections impact our microbiome and our digestive system. And when I started to talk about it like that on my Instagram, people really responded to it. And a lot of people were sharing very similar feelings, feelings of remorse, feelings of regret, feelings of confusion as to why their symptoms were the way that they were, and then finally hearing some answers that made sense. So I shifted my business from just like general nutrition, helping women, to really helping moms focus on the postpartum period and recovering from birth, starting solids, and really addressing the chronic disease that's happening in our children. And I found that moms are really willing to do it when it's their baby.
That is amazing. Yeah, I feel like nobody really prepares for anything to go wrong, or, you know, you can do all the right things and still sometimes we like have these mystery things pop up, and it can be very frustrating for moms who feel like, you know, I'm trying everything I know how to do and nothing's working. So that's amazing that we have you as a resource for so many moms.
Thank you. I really feel like, you know, the main thing that went wrong with my birth was not having the proper people there. And so if I could tell advice to any mom, expecting mom, or someone who is, you know, wanting to have a natural birth, it would be like, surround yourself with the people that help you feel safe and confident, and be very much aligned with your midwife or whoever the practitioner is, whatever their ideals about birth are. Make sure that you have alignment, because I think that I was in the hands of people who were just so quick to go the route of C-section. And in birth, you're in such a trance state. It was almost, I would say, out of my control in making the decision. And we just weren't equipped. We just didn't know enough, and we should have known more. And so, yeah, I did do it again. I had a home birth and be back, and it was amazing. But yeah, if I were to be telling my younger self, it would be have the people that I trust. And that's even someone like my mom. Like, just like, who do you love and who's seen you through the arc of your life, all the parts of yourself that can feel, help you feel extremely confident and also believes in birth and that women can birth their babies physiologically.
We say that all the time on this podcast for women who haven't given birth yet, prepare ahead of time, because you don't want to be the woman that said like, oh, I wish I knew better and like things went terribly. Just know better beforehand. Prepare yourself beforehand.
Yeah. And I don't want to martyr my experience, right? Like, that I'm putting what happened to my body and my baby on the altar for everyone else to learn from. But at the same time, it's like, well, I did learn a lot from this. And I do want to share because it does offer a lot of perspective that people don't get, right? Basically, from the hospital, I was sent home with laxatives and painkillers. And I'm like, wait, there's so much we can do here to support my body's healing and my baby's healing. And without taking steps to intervene, if I just let the microbes, you know, run wild as they are, my son is way more likely to have chronic symptoms in his life, like asthma, allergies, eczema, digestive issues, even behavioral issues and neurological issues. So it's really real.
Did you get a lot of pushback saying like, hey, a cesarean can cause these things and like they do happen and we need to support them? Because I know a lot of women like they'll automatically feel shame when they hear someone say like, hey, this isn't the best option, even though it's an option they went with. So did you get a lot of pushback?
Yeah, that's a great question. So after I give birth, I don't get online at all for 6 months. And I am very intentional about that. And with my first baby, I could not speak about the cesarean for really like a year. So I take my time before I talk about things. And even I most recently posted about my cesarean and how babies who are born by cesarean should be considered, you know, different when starting solids. And I was so nervous about that post. I was so nervous and I had to like discuss it with my team just because it is a really vulnerable thing for me to share. And because I really don't want people to feel shame and like their feelings are hurt. At the same time, I know that I can't shame someone else into their own experience. That's really on them. And I'm always trying to bring awareness to the light of what is systematically going on that is impacting what happens to women and mothers and babies, right? I'm not morally judging your choice, but I also think it's incorrect to say that a C-section birth and a physiologic birth are equal. They're not. And that's not just from a microbial perspective, it's from a physiologic birth perspective. And that's something that is very, very important to me. And the lineage that I am passing on to my children, I really want them to know that birth matters. How you are birthed makes a difference in your life. And that is something that is fundamentally human that I don't want to lose. So for me, the risk is that, you know, speaking up against this, the reward far outweighs the risk is what I mean.
Definitely. And I feel like I talk about this all the time on my page, but it's like we shouldn't have to hide facts from people just because we're scared of hurting people's feelings. We as a society have gotten so soft and just like, you're mom shaming, you're making me feel. And it's just like I don't think any grown adult with a fully functioning brain is ever trying to make someone else feel bad. It's just like facts over feelings. And everyone should be grateful that they have this information that can come out to them and help them. Because at the end of the day, don't we all want what's best for our kids? Like that is part of motherhood, is just like putting our pride aside and doing what's best for our kids.
Yeah, exactly. And especially when it seems that the overarching narrative is that they're equal. Like, why do we have to have everything be equal? Mm. I just posted the history of formula and I got tons of unfollows and people were, you know, no mom should ever be shamed for giving formula. And it's like, actually, you know, if I felt a little shame from giving formula, I would really want to look at why I feel shame about that. And that could actually be a signal from my body that telling me something is very, very wrong. And so with the C-section birth, with the formula giving, with all these things that are very modern and interrupting what it means to be human, I'm actually like, hey, like maybe we look at this a little bit deeper if we have big feelings around it. How about that modeling to our children? Like I feel uncomfortable and I'm still okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We always say like facts don't have feelings, but like you're feeling shame because you probably weren't fully educated and you feel bad and you're projecting a little bit. But can you explain like why it's important to protect that gut microbiome in the beginning and like how to do that, I guess?
Well, so mothers pass on their microbiomes to their babies, and that means we pass on the good and the bad microbes. So the way that I really talk about microbiome health is that there are beneficial microbes, and those beneficial microbes have roles in terms of keeping our body clean and free of toxins, helping our immune system work properly and really well. It helps us to synthesize vitamins, and our microbiome even creates vitamins. So we need a healthy microbiome to break down nutrition. So the foods that we eat, our microbiome helps us to synthesize, absorb, utilize, and send nutrients around the body so that our organs and our organ systems function properly. So When we have a physiologic birth, the mother is passing on all of her beneficial microbes to the baby, and she's also passing on any pathogenic or opportunistic microbes. So any imbalances that the mother has, and even some that the father has, are also passed on to the baby. So like, I also like to think about the microbiome of the home. The baby's microbes are very much informed by whoever's touching, holding the baby, the microbes in the home, and the mother's vaginal flora. So throughout the generations, we've obviously had a degradation of our microbiome because we've had more use of pharmaceuticals, because we've had more processed foods, more stress, more chemicals, more pollution. All of that has degraded the microbiome over time. So if we think about our great grandmother's microbiome and what she was doing in her day to day, what she was touching, that baby that was birthed is a very different baby than the baby that is birthed today, who has now had several generations of microbiome and nutritional degradation. So my main message to mothers is we need to reclaim our healthy microbes and this generational passing of nutrition and a healthy microbiome to our children.
It's truly incredible. And I feel like no one is really, well, one, obviously a lot of people are just not talking about this in general, but it's just, it's so crazy that I just wish when people were thinking about getting pregnant, there was just like a guide we could be given of like, okay, if you want to have a successfully healthy pregnancy, birth, baby, all of the things, like this is what we need to do. Because we as society are just told like, okay, get pregnant, then find a prenatal, which usually moms are using like going to Walgreens and grabbing, you know, Nature's Made or something, and no diss to anyone doing it. I did that with my first pregnancy. It's just like nobody really has true informed consent on anything ever. And it's just, the internet is a cool place, but it's also such a dangerous place because we have gotten, like I said, as a society, so scared of hurting people's feelings that it's almost like people try to fit in by saying like breastfeeding and formula are the same and C-section and vaginal birth are the same. And don't get me wrong, there's a time and place where we have to do other things, and thank God we have other options. But it's like, we need to stop sugarcoating everything and just give people the facts how they are. And like, it's on us to do our own inner work to stop being so offended and feeling the mom shame and the guilt. It's just like, we would be so much better off as a society if we just put our pride aside and just, again, focused on what's really best for our kids, not coddling the moms into decisions that aren't best for their kids, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and part of what is really missing here is like an intergenerational passing of wisdom. So like, nobody passed anything to me in terms of like how to prepare my body for pregnancy. How, looking back in hindsight, I'm like, how was I a birthing woman who had never been to a birth before? Like, I'm literally about to give a birth to a baby. I've never seen a birth. That's crazy. But most people listening to this podcast are going to be like, I've never been to a birth. Right. And so it's just, we're separate from the sacred rituals of life. Like, it's a coming of age to see a woman give birth. We've lost these ritualized and ceremonial processes that help us go through life and pass down information that is crucial for us to be well in our communities and in our families. And then we're spun into situations that are very intense, like birth. And you're just like, I don't know what to do. You don't know what to do, my midwife. Okay, let's go to the hospital. Like, what else do I have here? And then the hospital mentality is like, oh yeah, we got to cut you open. We got to get that baby out. This is an emergency. You know, it's like, that's where I ended up. And so I am in the business of reclaiming rituals, traditions, ceremony, and like living life in a way that just models to my children, this is how we are well. And it's not just for you, it's for your grandchildren.
I feel like we've medicalized everything for the sake of convenience, and convenience is not always the best option. More than likely, it's not the best option. It's frustrating to watch, and it's frustrating that everybody just goes along with it and just doesn't question anything. Like, oh, this is just what I've been told, and this is what I have to do. But I'm curious, what are like some of the best, like first foods to introduce to your baby?
Cool. Well, that's a great question. So when it comes to starting solids, I want to mimic the nutrition of breast milk when I transition them to food. So I want it to be protein rich. I want it to be high in saturated fats. I want it to have good minerals and also like the omegas for baby's growing brain, because the first 1,000 days is the biggest impact that you can have on your child's brain nutritionally, brain and body. So first 1,000 days includes when your baby's in your belly. and is up to their second birthday. So this time is actually really crucial. And I teach it as a rite of passage, right? And help moms transition. And what a lot of people that I help are those who have already symptom expression, meaning their baby during breastfeeding, they had to eliminate tons of foods. They had babies that are covered in eczema. Their baby was like, you know, crying in pain and had gas, colic, all of that kind of thing. So we start solids in a way that rebuilds the gut and the microbiome. Breast milk is the ideal food for a baby. Biologically, it's a match, right? Like we are meant to breastfeed and it's a beautiful thing. So when you transition to solids, you want to support the continuation of the development of the gut and the immune system, which is what breast milk does. Like babies' guts are immature when they're born. Breast milk continues to grow the gut lining and to build the immune system and inform the immune system, right? There's like a bidirectional relationship between the breast, the skin tissue, and the milk and what baby needs. So when I start solids, it's a really gentle meat stock, which is different from bone broth. It's not the same. It's a shorter cook time. It's a gelatinous stock, which continues to build the epithelial cells in the gut and create a mucous membrane where microbes can have a healthy home. After that, you start adding in drops of sauerkraut brine, beet kvass. You want to start with a lot of meat close to the bone that's fatty, nutrient-rich. Add in a lot of different types of fats, different types of animals, organ meats, and continue on eventually with seasonal vegetables and fruit.
Okay, that is amazing because most moms, and even like when I was a new mom 6 years ago, people were telling me, give him the Gerber rice cereal. And just, it's so crazy when we look, I look back, like people were telling me to give carbs. There was no protein or fat in these cereals. Or they're telling me start out with like fruits, like bananas. And while obviously like, sure, a banana is like healthy-ish, it's just, all I'm thinking of is like massive glucose spike. Not filling, there's no protein, there's no fat. Like we're just doing a disservice by not telling moms
what their babies need.
Yeah. How to properly nourish their babies. And I think a lot of people think like, oh, first foods are so fun. It's so fun to do these things. But like a lot of times we're just getting the pre-made store-bought, you know, fruits, veggies, and then we're giving them like the little rice puffs and stuff when we're just missing out on such opportunity to truly nourish them from like a cellular point.
Absolutely. Yeah. And women don't know how to nourish themselves. I mean, we're just going back to that thing of like, I was started on sweet potato. Like I was started on rice cereal. My siblings were on formula. My parents were told to do soy milk. You know, it's like, it's just industry has driven a lot of misinformation. And so I feel like this time is a real remembering for moms around what actually babies need. And the thing that I said in the beginning, which is like when your new baby has symptoms that you can't solve and it goes in a direction like you never expected, it's a real kick in the butt and a real motivator to be like, I'm going to change my life right now. And that's why it's a perfect point to talk to moms because they are really open. It's like I've talked about picky eating in toddlers and on my business too, and it doesn't get near the traction because in a way people are like giving up, you know, like it's too hard with a toddler. They think like I could never change my 6-year-old, like they're resigned to the idea. But when you have that new baby in front of you and that baby is covered in eczema or that baby is having problems that you never expected, it's a real shock. It's a real wake up. And so I feel like it's the perfect time for moms to heal. And especially because the postpartum is so tender and you're so vulnerable and your nervous system is so receptive to change, you can really make some beautiful shifts in your life during this time.
I also feel like there's this weird obsession with feeding the baby early. Like, but like, I just saw this woman give her 4-month-old McDonald's french fries. And I was like, what is happening? And she's like, do we want them to grow up? Are we bored? Like, where did this trend come from? Especially like the rice cereal trend. Like, where did these originate from? Like, and why?
Yeah. So rice cereal came on the market because it could be fortified with iron. And so a lot of times babies are, their cord is cut premature. They're not getting the iron stores all the way from birth. And they run out of the stores around 6 months. And so the fortified food is offered at that time and pushed at that time because basically that's the only reason, you know, and rice is also not considered to be an allergen. And so pediatricians began to push this and it just, you know, there was a whole wave of like scientific mothering, which mothers were pushed away from their instinct, pushed away from making their own food, told to, you know, participate in other ways in society. And it like hit at the same time that marketing around food and baby food and food production was really ramping up. And so we kind of are just 70 years deep into, I mean, I don't know if it was a coincidence or not, but like convergence of ideas that ended up being a real detriment to babies and mothers.
What kills me is when people say, like, I'll see on TikTok someone, a video of someone giving rice, baby rice cereal, and then the comments are like, why would you do that, blah blah blah, and then the original video maker is saying stuff like, well, I trust my pediatrician over your advice. And I'm just like, how much nutrition info was your pediatrician giving? Because they really weren't. It's just like the blind is leading the blind, but people get so defensive that they don't want to see the truth. They're just like, well, this is what I was told, so I do whatever my pediatrician tells me because I love my baby. And it's just like, I'm just like, feel as though if we put our pride aside and just did a little bit more research, we could really understand how to truly nourish our babies. But that goes for like all things in motherhood, I think. If we could just put our pride aside, we would just be so much better off, and more if people could be willing to just hear the other side of things.
I also feel like there's this pressure. Like, my daughter just turned one and people were not thrilled that I didn't give her like a cake, like a gluten-filled smash cake filled with sugar. I'm like, first off, she's one. She doesn't care. She's not going to remember this. And two, why would I've worked really hard to support her. She didn't start solids till 8 months. She didn't even really care till quite recently about solids anyways. I'm like, I've worked really hard to cultivate this. So why would I give in to this peer pressure of this weird trend of the smash cake thing? So yeah, it's like this vicious cycle of like, well, you turned out fine, so you can do it too. But like, are we fine? We're a very sick generation. And also, is it true that we don't really digest gluten that early on in our lives? Like a one-year-old, I mean, can they digest grains? Yeah.
The information on grains is that we have most of our carbohydrate breakdown in our mouth. So we have enzymes that help us to break down carbohydrate foods. And this is why, if you're an adult, it's very important to chew your food, especially carbohydrate foods. You got to really chew fully, because the only chemical breakdown that we have of our carbohydrate foods is inside of our mouth. What that means is that we have other chemical breakdown. We have enzymes in our stomach, but they're more made for protein, like pepsin and that kind of thing. So when it comes to babies and starting them on grains, I typically wait until they are much older, because I want those enzymes to be there in their mouth. And then I just look at it from an ancestral perspective. Like, we wouldn't have had a lot of grains. You know, we pre-agriculture, we would have been carrying our babies on our back, feeding them meat that we chewed ourselves. You know, there was no grains for babies. And so I'm with you. The cake, the first birthday cake, is for the parents and for the adults in the room. It's not really for the children. And I also skipped the first birthday cake. I made liver pate. And it's probably one of the most frequent questions I get, like, what do you give for your birthday? And I always suggest like steak or liver pate, or just, you know, you can have a cake for the adults. You don't need to have a cake for the kid.
Yeah, that's exactly what we did. Cake for everybody else and not for the baby.
Yeah. I recently learned that the cake is emblematic of the placenta. And I thought that that was really beautiful. And that kind of like changed my tune a little bit, because I was like, oh, like, I would love to celebrate the placenta and my baby and that kind of thing. But I just really gave my son his first birthday cake at 3. And even like, I think about that, like just 3 years old, I'm like, wow, that's a lot of that's even early for a 3-year-old. Right. But in our society, it's most toddlers are having Starbucks hot chocolate at 18 months, you know. And so it's very different. Like, just my grandmother's like, so they've never had a cookie, so they've never had a piece of bread, you know. And I'm like, nope. Now my son has had sourdough, and he has had like the birthday cake that I made him, which was a coconut flour cake made with bone marrow strawberry frosting. He loved it.
That is so cool. I think people like you are so cool. Like, you should be the norm, and then the other way of how most people do things should be like the woo-woo. Like, that is incredible. I love it.
Yeah, I thought I was hardcore, but you're hardcore and I love it. I actually found your account months ago and I've been obsessed. I'm so glad that you could come on, because I feel like you shaped the foundation of how everybody looks at me crazy now. It's your fault, because because you've just been a wealth of knowledge and I love it. Yeah, will you tell everybody where they can find you?
Yeah. So most of my stuff, I'm actually on all the channels, but I'm on like stories and most frequently on Instagram. So at Wild Nutritionist is my handle. You can find me there. And yeah, that's where I have where it's all going down. And I have two courses that are available. One is called the First Foods course, and that's all about starting solids the gut health way. And then I have Mama Baby Biome, and those they're complementary courses. Mama Baby Biome is about it's actually everything I did to prepare my body for pregnancy, but also recovering postpartum, helping moms really like get really great nutrient dense breast milk, feel better after birth, and help reverse their children's symptoms themselves. So it's a course all about the gut health for the whole family and empowering you to cook your way to a symptom-free life.
That is amazing. Thank you so much for joining us. I can't wait for this episode to come out. I think it's going to be so helpful for new moms and even moms of like toddlers just to understand why we should be doing the things we do and all of that. So thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely. And toddler moms, even moms of older children, it's never too late to start.
That's it for today's episode of Moms Unbothered. If this conversation made you think differently, question the norm, or even just feel a little more empowered in your health journey, do us a favor. Share this with another mom who needs to hear it.
If you're loving the show, the best way to support us is by leaving a quick review, subscribing, and connecting with us on social media. It helps us reach more moms who are ready to take back control of what goes on, in, and around their families. We'll be back next week with another conversation, but until then, trust your instincts, question to everything, and stay unbothered. Bothered.